Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Certainly hope you're on top of the world after a successful punting weekend. Nice to have your company on this Monday edition of Punter's Postmortem. Red Zell back with a bang at Royal Randwick. But is it the Red Z of old or new? The two-time Everest winner, third consecutive Concord. Congratulations to the Snowden team. Congratulations to Red Zell. Libertini wins again in the Furious. Was it the win you were expecting? Or was it a struggling win? Or was it just a good, great, or brilliant performance? We'll take your views, and would you go forward to the Everest with Libertini if you're the owner in Jerry Harvey? 10 Sovereigns is en route to Australia for the Everest. Apparently there's two coming down for Coolmore. One on top of the ground, 10 Sovereigns, and a horse called Fairyland, who apparently is a mudlark. And Samadout wins the Chelmsford. Did you stick? Was it a surprise? Or were you on the tail enders? All of that with Holmesman as well down in Melbourne running into Cox Plate calculations for Lloyd Williams and his team. And Lloyd Williams has never won a Cox Plate. That's hard to believe. Six Melbourne Cups, but never won a Cox Plate. 13 53 53 is the open line number on Punter's Postmortem. Don't forget the text messages 0419 767 272. Good morning, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. And a couple of big syndicates are on top of the world. The Red Zell syndicate and the Semar Doubt syndicate, I can tell you that. They were really on fire there on Saturday. And, well, I suppose Nash Warilla's on top of the world at the moment as well, with four winners on a feature day. So exciting days racing, and looking forward to the next couple of months.
Yeah, four winners, and probably should have been five winners for Nash Warilla. Really a day that suited him as well, with front runners and track bias. You know, if you're up near the lead, you were certainly a better hope than being back in the pack. He's never back in the pack. He's always up with the leaders. Bit of a tearaway. They can't make him settle. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Good morning, Glenn.
Morning, Tick. Even with a cross nose band for those harness people ahead, check.
No maybe, tongue tie.
Block eye blinkers.
They've been looking for a tongue tie. Don't worry.
No, great. You know, always exciting this time of year when we get, you know, all the horses coming back. And, I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, it was a hot leaders track and everything like that. But there were races there where horses did come, you know, from back in the field. The Tab Highway was the perfect example there, where first and second were probably the widest runners midfield. But what happens is the track dries out. That's the most important thing. As the track gets harder and firmer, it's more difficult for those horses of basically equal ability to give other horses a start and run them down.
Yeah, mathematically, the figures, if you're close to the lead or the leaders and you can run some sectionals, you're going to be winning, and the horses out the back are going to find it extremely hard. We had Holmesman steal the show down at Moonee Valley over the weekend, and joining us from Melbourne is David Gately. G'day, g'day, Gator.
Very good morning, all. Yeah, he was quite dominant, Holmesman. I think the inevitable was probably the win of the day down here, but overall difficult to overlook. Parada is probably the run of the day over the weekend. Just interesting how that race, the Everest, is evolving, and now they're bringing two strings. Yeah. Where's the dry track? I love it.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a stable like that? Or, you know, an ownership like that, Ronnie? We think, look, a $14 million race. I've got a slot. I've got a dry tracker. I've got a wet tracker. I'll send two.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I personally thought they'd start looking elsewhere, but they're intent on bringing their own.
And... Well, they could, mate. They've got a share in Yes, Yes, Yes.
Yes, they have. They have.
So that wouldn't be out of calculations yet, Ronnie?
Yeah, all options are open, as we say. All options are open. But interesting, two in quarantine for Coolmore. And it adds a little bit of another bit of interest to this very interesting race.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you got a latest market there for the Everest? And were there any significant changes, Glenn?
The latest market, and there were changes, TK. The latest market for the Tab Everest was... A little bit of activity on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I bet you there was.
Santa Ana Lane still remains favourite at $5. Pirata, and I have fixed this up, Ronnie. Dr. George Clegg, one of the part owners of Pirata, sent me a message and he said, don't listen to these people. He said, I named it Pirata. And that's what its name is.
No, you were the only one that's changed its name to Pirata.
Well, I heard it.
Who
the
called
other day?
It Pirata?
Glenn Munsey.
Oh, please.
No, I heard people say the other day they were going to start to call it Pirata. And I, you know, and then it gets in your head and you're going, Pirata, Pirata, Pirata. You know, I got enough going through my small brain as it is without trying to change horses' names.
Some would say not much.
Talking of changing horses' names, there was a horse just trialled at Hawkesbury since I saw it going round, one of Richard and Michael Friedman's. It was called Sennacherib. Well, now it's called Sennacherib. And I decided to look up the Bible, and apparently it's some person in the Bible, and it is actually Sennacherib. So it's had a change of name as well. But getting back to the Tab Everest, as we drift off into the ether here.
Into the abyss.
Santa Ana Lane's at $5, Pirata. And you could have had, in a special promotion on Saturday, the Tab pushed all the horses in the Concord out in the Everest market. He could have had as much as $10 about it. He went up $8, got to $10 on Saturday, was $7 after the race. He's now a $6 chance and second favourite Pirata. You've got Osborne Bulls and Redzel, now $7 each of two. Well, Redzel was $11 Saturday morning. There was one bet of $10,000 at $11 on Saturday morning. That person was admitted to the coronary ward when they pushed it to $15 before the Concord. Was made $8 straight after the race and is now firmed again to $7. We've got Classique Legend, who stayed at home in its box on Saturday, as an $8 chance. Libertini actually firmed before she ran on Saturday, was $9 into $8. After Jerry said it's 100-1 to run in the Everest, it was pushed all the way out back to $9. Elise's there at $11. Acadia Queen's at $11. We'll see her this week. Enticing Star's $15. We'll see her this week. Exceedance and Graff are $15 each of two. Now, Graff, before he ran in the Concord on Saturday, was a $26 chance. He got the $34 in the special promotion. After the race, he was made a $15 chance and doesn't have a slot as yet. In Her Time at $15, Sunlight was $11, was pushed to $13 in the promotion, was then made $15 after she finished down the track on Saturday, but she does have a slot. 10 Sovereigns, now the fact that he's in quarantine after being 51, is now $15. And then you've got the others at $26 and longer.
All right, let's go through the runners from the Concord on the weekend. Congratulations to everybody. Redzel, 3 Concords, 2 Everest. Can he make it 3 Everest? This was over 1,000 metres. Firstly, Ronnie, what did you make of Redzel?
He's superb, superb all round. He's just got that beautiful gate speed. He bluffed them out of the lead. He did what Redzel does. And he does do it at 1,200 as well. You don't win, you know, the past two Everests if it's just a 1,000-metre horse. Handles it wet, dry. He's back. He's back. He's a spring horse. Yep. The only time we're worried about him is in the autumn, and they found a few little issues with him. He's had a nip and tuck, and he's back.
They did think they got him right in the autumn, but he just didn't come up the way they thought. What about Pirata? Was simply enormous, quite clearly.
Yeah, well, Gator's right. Clearly the run of the day. I know it's only a 1,000-metre race and they can run time, but he was airborne there. He's another horse. If you were betting in the Everest today, if we were all saying, what wins the Everest?
Yeah.
Most people would have to come up with Pirata. I don't think they could go any other way because he's bang. He's got his form on the board now. He ticks every single box: wet, dry, back, forward. He's just faultless.
Take the $6 now. The sectionals would have been absolutely freakish, Gator, from Pirata.
Yeah, they were, and there was plenty of talk on social media, which was in pretty good form Saturday night on Twitter. But saying that what use the times when they're all running fast on a fast day. Well, the reality is they're all racing on the same day.
Correct.
So, if it's relative to the day, then of course it's great information. Yeah. And if you're running home 31.84, that's about as fast as racehorses go. 11.7 lengths, if you like, above the class average, which is pretty hot. So Group 3, and then home 10.88. I mean, it's just, as I say, just as fast as horses go. You know, a star like Libertini was home 33.04, to put it into some sort of perspective.
Gator, Graff was good.
Yeah, really good. I think it was well summed up by Brenton Abdullah, wasn't it? You know, there's nowhere to hide. You're playing in the big league, and he ran well, beating the length. He beat some pretty good horses home in the small field. Whether or not he can turn the tables on the other two, I noticed he did have a bit of a, you know, a good blow after the race, so there may be fitness to come. But look, if you're putting him in some sort of pecking order, there's certainly a few ahead of him.
Yeah, Duff, Nature Strip, Chris Waller would have been disappointed because he thought he was winning the battle with Nature Strip, trying to make it settle better.
Yeah, we can get carried away with trials, and on race day it's different. And on race day, we know he's got bad habits. We know he's a very talented horse. And, you know, he looked well. He ticked every box going into the race. And he popped. His mental attitude. Do you continue to try to teach the old dog new tricks?
No, I don't think so, do you?
I don't think so.
I think you just go, well, we've done everything we possibly can.
Yeah.
Just get out there and run now.
Every race is a new challenge. You know, his next race, there might be a couple of mad leaders again. They might try a similar thing. But, it's a head-scratcher.
The only problem with that, Ronnie, and I'll get everyone's opinion there, if he doesn't settle any better, the 1200's not on the planet, not on the map.
Not at this level, no.
No.
No, no, no. Not at all. That was shown up there on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't finish off as near as well as a few others there.
Yeah. Gator, I guess what's that leave? The Lightning down the straight?
Look, there's plenty of 1,000-metre races and 1,100. You know, he's beaten Parada at 1,100, hasn't he? So, and what he does is win his races in the first 400 and then, more importantly, in the middle 400, when he's so fast in that part of the race, he puts it out of their reach. And he won 7 of 8 when he's been, you know, over a short course, you know, off a freshen. So, and not only, though some of them are track record times, you know, sort of Mini Valley track record beating Hootson, he was within 0.13 of a long-standing Flemington track record over 1,100. This is the talent of this horse. Now, I can see what they were thinking. Absolutely. $160,000 race. We've got a $14 million race down the track. Of course, we're going to try and get him there. But what they probably learnt coming out of the weekend was, you know, if I'm Usain Bolt, it's no good me running over 400 metres. You know, I'll be competitive, but I'm not going to be a world class. But over 100 metres, Usain Bolt is just too fast for him. And that's the story with this horse. If he's 1,000, 1,100 kept fresh, I'll back him every single time with most of my bank. When he's trying to 1,200 metres or trying to be something he's not, I back something else.
Yep, fair.
Can we make a case? I know he's got terrific dry track form. Is he a... is he a better horse at this level with a jar out of the track? I just keep going back to that Galaxy run on a heavy track where he beat Parada, he beat Redzel, he beat Graf, and he destroyed them. But I'm just looking for angles with him. He went better on the wet that day.
Yeah, look, he was brilliant that day, but they rode him properly, inverted commas, didn't they? I mean, you know, look at some of his dry track form, though, Ronnie. I mean, he's beaten Hootson in track record time at the Valley. And then to go within 0.1 of a Flemington 1,100-metre track record untouched, you know, on dry ground. So I think I'd probably rather back him on dry than wet, but basically in anything up to 1,100 when he's ridden for his for his talent to come to the fore.
And the Galaxy is 1,100 metres as well. Glenn,
Were their plans thrown out by the fact that Zoustyle didn't go anywhere near as hard as what everyone thought it would, and you thought Zoustyle's chance of being competitive against those horses was to hit the ground, run, and get them off the bit?
Yes.
I don't think it would have mattered, guys. I think when he's ridden like that, so his best asset is that mid-race speed, and if he's being restrained in that part of the race, you've taken away his sole weapon that shows his world-class abilities taken away. So he becomes just a moderate athlete.
Okay.
Gator, can you defend I haven't had time to pull this meeting apart like you would as far as sectionals and how fast they went in these races. Going in, the maps looked a bit wishy-washy with two and only one and two and not a lot of leaders in this race. And I'm not going to try and defend it wasn't on pace, but how bad was it?
The pattern of the day, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I didn't think it was any mad track bias. What I did take out of the meeting was the strong westerly winds, and you know, there was that seemed to be extremely detrimental to any horse getting back trying to make a sustained run, and that was backed up by the results. I know some of these leaders winners weren't 100 to 1, You know, Dreamforce, Samadab, you know, they're not hacks, Red Zell. But purely from a form perspective, I am adding plenty of merit to any horse that was able to sustain a wide run, a horse like Avilius, Charcow Shark. And there's a way to prove whether I'm right or wrong. They all raced again.
Yep.
So let's find out. But I'm adding less merit to the leaders and adding more merit to the run-ons on Saturday.
I'd like to find out before they run, actually, Gator. That's
that's the plan. It's always painful.
But I think you're absolutely right, and most people would agree. Glenn, Sunlight, I think, you know, many people would be naturally disappointed maybe with Sunlight, but then there was it was found to be lame.
Yeah, well, only one out of five.
One out of five.
TK,
one
so
out of five.
Not significantly lame, but I suppose sore enough. She probably, I would have thought she would have been a little bit more competitive on speed earlier in the race when you consider, you know, that's been a strength. I know Tony McAvoy said she goes better as she gets further into a preparation, but that would have been one of her, well, to put it mildly, one of her worst runs.
In
a life.
And she's a warrior.
She has had 16 of them.
She is a fair-dinkum warrior, but he wasn't perturbed, and that was before he found out she was actually one out of five lame. Libertini, Ronnie, you were still glowing in the praise of Libertini. We saw that terrific debate between Jerry Harvey, the owner, and then Anthony Cummings, the trainer, with Greg Radley, and in the aftermatch interview where Jerry said she's 100-1 to be running in the Everest, and then Anthony quickly quipped, "I've trained a 100-1 winner."
Yeah. Look, I'm defending her as a three-year-old filly.
Yep.
Against her own age, I think she's 100-1 to run in an Everest as well. Mm. Although on a first up run, you could say, yeah, she could be nearly winning an Everest. But look, she's still young. She could not reproduce that performance that she did first up there. Yeah. I just think it was one of those runs. She ran so hard out of her skin first up, running that time on the day, that she couldn't reproduce that. She won. She didn't run to $1.18. I'll cop that on the chin, but she still runs solid enough time. She's run faster than... You can't measure her against Red Zill. You know, track and distance, baller, she's, you know, beat him with figures all the way through there. He's an open-class sprinter who they're thinking they're taking on Group 1 racing with. So I think she was good. Not as brilliant as last time. And sometimes we all get carried away with one win, and the expectations on that horse are just too much.
All right. Gator, what did you make of Libertini?
No, very, very good. Look, she sat off the speed, you know, off a pretty solid sort of clip for the class, about a length quicker than average, and she, you know, wasn't where the winners were coming from. Villamar gave a nice kick, and she was able to run her down. Her last 600, 33.04, as referenced earlier, then 11.28. Now, incidentally, her and Baller's race, they were run at almost identical first 600, within 1/100th of a second, in fact. So the time should have been pretty similar. In fact, Baller is a more seasoned horse. Probably should have been faster, even with the weight differential. But she ran home about 7 lengths faster than him, and she was about 5 lengths faster than the race overall. So relative to the day, another outstanding performance.
Glenn, you've still got her a $9 chance in the Everest.
Well, TK, before Saturday...
money back.
Yeah,
you get your money back.
Okay.
Before Saturday, she was the third most popular runner in the Everest. She is still fourth, taking into account the $10,000 bet on Red Zell.
Okay.
That's why she's sitting where she is in the Everest.
All right.
You know, and it is, you know, it's a free kick, it's money back.
Yep, Osborne Bulls worked on the course proper, Ronnie. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did, yeah. No, he's... they got plenty to work with too. I'm expecting him to be very competitive wherever he runs in, and I think he's going to improve. He just got a little polishing up to do in his skin and whatever, and which will come in the next month. And I think Godolphin have got their timing perfect with him. The thing I'm intrigued with is these Western Australian mares, Katie, a Queen, Enticing Star. You know, Bowman and McDonald have both ridden them. They've had one ride each on both of them. They're playing the game. I think Chris Waller's looking for good jockeys' opinions. And I read a report last night that Karen McAvoy's going to ride Arcadia Queen in next Saturday, which, well, he'd be already tied up for the Everest.
He so wouldn't be jumping off Red Zell.
No, well, he's...
Or Classique legend. He's, you know, he's his third stringer.
Yeah, so I don't know what the game is with the jockeys. With maybe... It's telling me maybe... maybe Bowman's aligned with Godolphin for the Everest.
Oh.
I'm guessing all this stuff. And, well, McAvoy is already aligned, obviously, to Redzel and Classique Legend, so maybe McDonald's is aligned to something else there as well. So I just found it a very interesting booking come Saturday.
We all know how rock solid they are.
Unless it might be a weight thing, but you wouldn't expect that.
No.
No.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't think
so.
She'd
think of me like her and get enough weight for them.
We're approaching 9:30 on this edition of Punters Postmortem. We are about to get an update on all the sporting headlines with Madison. Then we'll come back and start taking your calls, 13:53:53. We'll get the opinions from our listeners regarding Redzel, about Libertini, about Tiago Shark and the tramway. Dreamforce was absolutely fantastic. If you're stuck with Summer Doubt or got under your guard yet again, Avilius was a very good second. Now they go to the George Main Stakes. Pandemic, well, disappointing. In the opening race, Yao Dash was really good, and now off to the Golden Rose, while Baller was very impressive as well. All your views are coming up.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Nice to have your company on this Monday edition of Punters Postmortem. David Gately, the Gator, listening in Melbourne intently for any of your queries. Ronnie Duffercy and also Glenn Munsey. The Kosciuszko chance of buying your tickets in that Kosciuszko draw ended at midnight last night. We've got the draw for the Kosciuszko coming up 10 a.m. tomorrow. 10 a.m. tomorrow will be the draw for the Kosciuszko. This comes in on text message. Is Fell Swoop retired? Gator, terribly disappointing on the weekend down there at the Valley. Fell Swoop.
Yeah, I'm assuming all wasn't well there. I mean, even too bad to be true, even though he's not the horse he was.
No.
Yeah, it was beaten out of sight, 23 and a half lengths. I'm assuming something wasn't right. So I'm not sure what the future is, but you couldn't back him in the short term.
No. Hey, boys, James McDonald will be aligned with Pierrata. Benno from Dubbo says.
Good luck with that one. I think wouldn't get Tommy Berry off with a crowbar.
No, I don't think. I think Tommy's lock solid there and loaded, isn't he?
Well, he's rock solid. I don't think, unless Libertini come into play, I don't think Tommy would be getting off Parada for anything.
No. Let's get to the open line, 13:53:53. All your queries, as well as the good runs and the bad runs from the weekend. And congrats again, Nash Ruwila, with the four wins on the day at Royal Randwick. Nice to have him back in our ranks. Nearly should have had five wins, to tell you the truth. Let's get to the open line. Hi, Macca.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
That's good. No, it was a good weekend. I was at Randwick on the weekend. And I think it was interesting that the Concord, I went back yesterday and when I was at home cooking, and I watched the replay. And I don't know, I wouldn't get off Nature Strip's bandwagon. I think that the win, what I heard by the reports from a lot of the jockeys, and even Tony McAvoy was up at a function I was at, and when he came up, he said the wind played a massive factor in that race. He said the gust kick up on the 600 metre to 400, and you saw Nature Strip going off like a cuff snake, and I just think maybe we might be jumping the gun early. I don't know. I'd be interested if Duff thinks for that and see what he heard from the jockeys on the way back.
There you go, Duff.
Yeah, look, I'm not knocking your theory, but he's got the horse does have history. It's not a one-off. So every time he's been in a race, it's been the same old story. If he's been held behind them or been tried to be held behind them, in fact, but the wind would have had a lot of effect on a lot of runners. But that's only subjective to whatever you want to think. Everyone can blame the wind and obviously wet tracks. When horses fail on wet tracks, it's easy. Just didn't handle the wet. The same old thing from jockeys, trainers, owners and whatever. It just gives you an excuse. Yeah. But wind is very, very difficult to read, I find. There are some people, well,
what would you do, right? From the weekend, do you add a length better to your form when you're doing it for the back markers who still got home well, or do you add two lengths, Ronnie, a length and a half? What would you do? What would be your, just give everyone a bit of a rough equation.
Well, that's up to the individual concerned,
Or do you mark them as they were?
Yeah, well, until the form has come out and we've had another look at a few of these runners and say, oh, well, that was the horse that was, you know, maybe a horse like Ballistica, who's come from back near last there, and she comes out and bolts in last time. Yeah, that's right. It was a good run.
Yeah, that's
right. That bush horse, Tabert, where'd he come from? He's come from last, running second to Baller there. You could pull those horses out, and then we'll see a horse like Avilius, who had to do it really tough there, and I'm interested to see what the market does with him next time, whether they say, okay, he's not going as well, or he wants a wet track, or that was a good run. I'm a bit to say it was a good run.
Okay. Yeah. I've just got one more question, guys, just for Gator down in Melbourne, mate. Oh, Gator, I hope you're well, mate.
Yep, all good.
With the regards to the inevitable and Hoseman, that was probably the two most impressive wins probably I saw all weekend. But out of the two, which one do you see as the most amount of upside? Do you think Lloyd Williams has really got a really good Cox Plate chance, or do you think the inevitable going to other races over that spring carnival is the one you really want to be following?
Yeah, well, they won't clash. So yeah. I think the reality is you can probably follow both of them. I mean, Holmesman has won very well. He's certainly a proper Group 1 horse in a Group 2 Fian. He was beaten in the race last year by Magic Console, who's not a star. But this year he was quite dominant. Overall time wasn't flash. But he was first up off some 43 weeks. So plenty of room to move for him. I think he'll be competitive in those races without winning them. The other one, the Inevitable, has all the upside. No one knows really how good this horse is yet. The only little chink in his armour is that he's not big, and can he sustain a long campaign? I think that's a great challenge for his trainers, who are elite horsemen. But that's going to be his challenge. But that win on Saturday, he sustained a run from 800 metres from the line and won easily, and he thrashed a good one in Deprive. So a lot of... I thought it was an outstanding individual effort, no doubt. So I could certainly follow both. The Inevitable's the one that we don't have a ceiling on yet, whereas I think Holmesman, we know his mark.
Okay, all right. So two to follow there, with Holmesman going forward, looking to give Lloyd Williams his first ever Cox Plate. Hard to believe he hasn't won one. But, Glenn, I think Holmesman's been tightened up $15 to $11 for the Cox Plate.
In that market, TK, he sits there. Mystic Journey, we'll see it this Saturday in the Mackayby Diva, is $4.50. Now, Kurt's horse, Lise Grishow, is on the second line of betting there at $8. Avilius stays hard in the market. There's a $9 chance. Dancer Tira and Holmesman are $11 each of two. And then three runners at $15. Kluger, Latrobe, and Very Elegant.
Right, let's keep taking some calls for our panel of experts. Hello, Mick.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mick.
Mate, just talking through me kick here a bit. Had a
only way
horse.
To do it.
Yeah, had a seven horse Maldi on Saturday and needed colding to run a place in the last mate. I just want to get your opinion on Bowman's ride.
He had nowhere to go, did he?
I thought it was ordinary. I thought he could have pulled out at the top of the straight, got it to the outside instead of going back to the inside, and didn't really look to get it out on the inside, I thought.
Yeah, by that stage of the day, they all wanted the inside, not so much the outside. But, I can feel your pain, and... I think you should book into a little bit better counselling service than ours.
Get a bit of therapy. To be honest, Mick, he was going to come out, but that, I forget the horse that ended up tiring in the end.
I thought there was a small gap there he could have pushed through.
It kept him in. If he pushes out, it would have been a pretty substantial shove, Mick. Oh, don't worry, I was hoping he was going to push out.
If you want to go through some, well, get yourself peace of mind and put yourself through pain again. They do have the head-on vision of these races.
No, it's worse when you watch it.
Yeah, well, you could see if he thought there was a run there. You can look at the head-ons on the Racing New South Wales website see if there was a run.
According to the stewards report, it just says slow to begin, held up making the home turn, and in the straight did not obtain clear running until near the 150-metre mark.
Yeah. Mick, don't worry, it's not that I'm trying to protect the jockey whatsoever, but I just thought he was a victim of circumstances, Mick.
Yeah. Winks wouldn't have been there.
No, different types of horses.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on a $1.15 chance, just keeping it out of trouble, knowing you've got the best horse in the world, that helps. I don't think Colding's quite up to that, although got a terrific record, but And we probably won't get a better price next time, Mick, because everyone will say it was the unlucky runner of the day. And it was the unlucky runner of the day, Ronnie.
Yeah, he should have run a clear second at least.
He goes to the Epsom. He's an $11 chance, I think, Glenn, in the Epsom. He's a good horse.
Yeah, and that Epsom market will be reshaped today because official nominations close today for the Epsom, the Metropolitan, and also the Golden Gift.
So what did you do with Tiako Shark for the Epsom after the weekend?
Well, at the moment, Tiako Shark, he just got out of fraction. He got 450 out to 5. Dreamforce was significant firmer in the Epsom into $6 second favourite. Samadout was a firm as well. On the back of two Wait for Age wins at $8. And then you've got Cascadian and Colding at $11 each of two. But as I said, that will be a new market this afternoon when the official noms close.
It's a terrific race, isn't it, the Epsom?
Always is.
Great race. Yeah, great race. It's shaping up very well. And once those weights come out, it's one of the races where you really have to look at the weights for the Epsom because it's a handicap. It's a good race for the lightly raced horses that beat the system and makes it a bit tougher for, you know, maybe your horses like Samadout and Dreamforce who set their weights up early in the spring. And some horses will beat the handicap, and I'm sure Colding will be one of them. I'm interested to see what weight they give Tiako Shark with his New Zealand record. And obviously horses like Happy Clapper and will keep the weights down in the race as well. So it's a real true handicap where you could make cases down the page by the time we get the field out, I'd say.
Gator, a lot of well-supported horses actually found the winning post in the first position. You had like Silent Roar. There was money for it in the second. Kentucky Breeze was really well supported in the third. There was money for Tophane, which is the Mike Moroney horse. It skirted the field and it won well. It was a really good win. And Exhilarates was blew a tiny weeny bit in the market, but still started odds on and won well. So punters were pretty well spot on.
You know, they had a good day. Track played really well at the Valley. Perhaps, you know, just off that inside section early on, but everyone was predicting that, given that's exactly what happened, you know, a few weeks ago with the Rail True as it was again on Saturday. So punters were onto it, and you just had to find then the horse that, you know, had every chance in the run. Now, that was not the case with a couple like Junipel, who should have won. A horse like Tofana, who was wide no cover, still beat them and ran the quickest last 200 of the day. So he's back. Exhilarates might have drifted late, but you know it was 2:30 in the morning, so there's good money for it during the course of the day, and many people's best for that, and she didn't let anyone down, you know, without absolutely smashing them. She's probably better ridden a bit colder than that. It was a strong tempo that race,
a lot closer than many thought.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And look, I'm not completely sold on all that form yet. I think there's a bit of left field stuff to come into this fillies. I'll put it this way, a horse like Loving Gabu we haven't seen yet. I think he flipped match motors with Exhilarates. I know which corner I'd be in, and it wouldn't be Exhilarates.
Okay.
Did Spring Rolls run up to expectation in that race, Gator?
Spring Rolls. Well, it was about 1,000 to 1, wasn't it?
Yeah, did it run up to expectations?
Well, I guess so. It didn't much go right, but yeah, wrong race, obviously.
200 to 1, wasn't it?
That was the luncheon benefit on Saturday.
Oh, it beat a couple of them.
Well, probably exceeded expectations there.
Beat 95 lengths,
It did beat a couple of hundred. A couple of quick ones. Good morning, fellas. Great win by Samadout. I'm lucky to have a brother who's in the syndicate, and I've been on him with both wins, hoping my old boy Dothraki can rip into them down the straight at Flemington this Saturday. One question for you. What was Bowman thinking with his ride on Colding? Cost me a pretty penny with a terrible ride. Cheers, Brett. Cheers, I'm not against bashing a jockey, but I just thought he was a victim of circumstances. This comes in from Nash. Ronnie, what's to say Pierrata won't be flat second up like Libertini? Yeah. Nash.
Nothing to say that. There's nothing to say that except...
Well, one's a three-year-old filly and one's a bit of a warrior.
Yeah, and he was ridden conservatively and he only had to come with a finishing sprint. It's not as if he had a gut buster on top of the speed all the way. So... I don't know about that. I'd have to look, go back through his form and see if there's any pattern that he's been a little bit flat second up.
He's had five first up runs now for three wins, and he's had four second up runs for one win and 3 seconds.
That's okay, pretty good.
He usually holds his form pretty well. And Greg knows him. I don't know whether he'll run in this shorts. This shorts seems like it's going to be the Everest, doesn't it?
It's pretty hot, isn't it? No doubt about that. Hope Chris Waller runs Subpoenaed in the Flight. And then will Libertini get a mile?
Yeah, that's when we've got to start asking questions. Just Subpoenas are an improving horse. And what about Funstar?
That was good.
She looks a mile filly through and through. You know, we're talking Flit, Funstar. There's a few others there that really look like they're going to eat up a mile. So it's once these fillies get to that distance, it'll be a bit of toing and froing and dodging as far as... you know, the Thousand Guineas, the mile races in Sydney.
Yep.
It's exciting for the fillies.
Yeah, Ronnie, this comes in. What was the hype with Blue Rouge? Ran like a camel.
She did. I thought she'd win. She'd been prepped up beautifully with a couple of trials. She looked beautiful in the yard. I just think she doesn't want to be there. I think she was bought to go to stud. They were thinking of giving her two or three runs before they go there. I think they can just head straight there now. She doesn't got her head up there late, didn't want to be there. Very disappointing.
All right. What did Duff and Gator think of Youngstar's run? And where is she going? Cal from Newcastle.
Well, if you want to judge it looking at the race...
I thought she was good.
She's fantastic. But, yeah. You know, how many chances do we want to give her? How long has it been? I know she's been winxed a few times, but if you want to judge her on that second up run, you'd say there's something for her.
She's going to the cups, isn't she?
I don't know what the ultimate will be with her, but it was one of the good runs in the race, put it that way.
Gator?
470 days now since the Queensland Oaks.
She was very good, given obviously the pattern of the day. Home 33.2 is pretty good going. She's quickest in the race at last 600. So she's got sustained speed, as we know, to the line. The problem is, you know, she's being aimed at the cups. So, you know, she was first Aussie home in the cups last year, I think 7th or 8th. It's probably about where she'll finish again, I'd imagine.
Yep.
And Hey Boys, I've done that one. Fell Swoop. We don't know whether Fell Swoop is retired or not yet. We'll try and check in with that. And Do I'm Invincibles get 1600, i.e. Libertini?
They do. Making
the grades one too in Darwin.
No, there's been a lot of them get a mile. What's that little filly in Melbourne that ran? She was that little filly in Melbourne. She won a mile over the carnival.
Yeah, anyway.
There's
a few of them. They run a mile.
Yeah.
They run a mile. They don't do what they run.
Shane Nichols' filly anyway. So there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Let's go to the open line. We'll go to Big Jules. We'll go to Big Jules on line number two. Hi, Big Jules.
G'day, TK. How are you?
Good to hear from you, Jules.
You too, mate. G'day, old mate Munns.
You don't have to come on and wrap Ballistica and all these horses that you're a part owner of, Jules, right?
Mate, I'm very interested in Ballistica. I was disappointed on Saturday because I thought she ran really well. But sectional-wise, how do you think she, as I heard Duff mention before, you know, against the pattern and everything, but that was her first... Saturday start on the weekend, so just want to see whether you think she's up for Saturday grade and how those sectionals stacked up for her.
Well, she was a cracking second.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was fillies and mares benchmark 78. Find another one of those in a Saturday, and she's hard to beat. There's no doubt about it. It's no good getting beaten by those stable mates. Not a good feeling, is it? But anyway.
Might put a bit of pace on for us, but it seemed to go the other way.
She ran really well, didn't she? And that's two good runs now. So you get these mares and they find a bit of form, they usually hold it. So she's obviously come back better than even though she was competitive last prep, she's a better mare this prep for sure.
Yeah, she still does a lot wrong. I don't think the penny's dropped with her yet. She gets her head up, she throws her head around and doesn't have the best manners in the world.
Well, a bit like her owner.
you know me too well.
You just described yourself, Jules.
Yeah.
What did Bjorn have to say regarding it?
I haven't heard the post match yet, right. So we should get it through today. I wasn't there at Randwick, so we'll see. But okay. The place now, because there aren't many benchmark 78s on a Saturday in September and October, but we might be back to Wednesday,
It's hard. It's just hard to win anywhere. But that was a nice run of Ballistica on the weekend behind Miss Invincible. Good on you, Jules. Nice to hear from you. We're taking your calls on 13 53 53. Morning, lads. Surprise Baby was a great run. Keen to spec her all in. Any idea for her grand final? Is it the cups? Cheers, Braden. Surprise Baby.
Yeah, look, he was terrific. I mean, he was equal last with 500 to go. They did go at anywhere near sort of Group 2 speed early in the race, and he's not a miler. He was hard-ridden away out. Knocked up late, stats home 12 seconds, so 8th quickest ranked home in the race last 200, yet he was fast to 6 to the 4, 4 to the 2. So an excellent return from a very good horse.
Okay. Boys, the last Sunday meeting at Wyong, note the last race protest. I backed the winner. The result was as bad as Takeover Target protest. A small trainer has no chance. Have to watch. Regards, James. The last race, the last Sunday meeting. Oh, so sorry, not Friday, not the Cup meeting. Regards, James. James, I can't remember that race.
I can't comment on it either.
Late Sunday afternoon's not your go for concentrating, is it, Ronnie?
It's not my expertise.
No. No, justified. You've had a big weekend. I can understand that, which is all right. Where is Libertini going? The Golden Rose, the Coolmore? P.S. Forgot about Redzel at your own risk. What happened last year for the Everest? Cheers, James.
Libertini will go to the T-Rose, 1,400, and then decisions will... have to be made after that, whether she freshens up Coolmore, goes ahead to the mile, goes to the Everest. There'll be three options, I'd say. Okay.
They're thinking about Yao Dash going to the Golden Rose.
Well, unbeaten horse.
Why not?
Two from two.
Makes its own luck.
Yep. It's got to take another step, but I think it's hard to knock a horse to do what he's did in two runs back, Gator.
Yeah, that's right. Been terrific, and certainly still with plenty of room to move, plenty of upside. So, Patton onside, no doubt. Ben probably caught Funstar a bit vulnerable, but no knock at all on the win. Set a strong speed, two lengths above average, and ran quick overall time.
Where have you got? What do you think of that Yao Dash horse's name just went out of my head then for one moment. Have you got a Golden Rose market up, Glenn?
Have we what, TK? And he firmed he was around about $26 into, right. I think it was $11 on Saturday. I'll bring that Golden Rose market up now. There's plenty
he's
of
15.
There.
He's 15.
I was 26 to 15. I thought it might have been 11.
That's it, yeah. Okay.
But Exceedance, the favourite of the Golden Rose at 460 over Yes, Yes, Yes at 8. Bivouac and Dawn Passage, 11 a pair. Castle Vecchio, Kubrick, Prince Fawaz, Yao Dash, all 15. And then a number of them are $26, including Cosmic Force, Fun Star, Microphone, Spend, Super Seth, a True Detective. They're the $26 pops.
Yeah, just having another look at this head on. Geez, I can find worse rides than Bowman's on Colding, I can tell you that much.
I just think...
He's three back the fence.
Yep.
He peeled off the fence just behind the leaders on the point of the turn. He couldn't come around Academus because
he was
tiring. And then he found himself inside Invincible Gem's heels there and...
He did not. I don't think he did much wrong, Ronnie.
He did nothing wrong.
No.
It just didn't happen for him.
He pushes out on that Academus, there's a big suspension coming.
Well, he can't push out on it because Academus is three quarters of a length in front of him. And he had to wait for him to come back. And so he's ducked inside Invincible Gem's heels, who's going nowhere. Wouldn't have won, but you would have collected the place tote. But hardly jockey error.
Hello, Kurt.
G'day, Terence, Dave, Ronnie, Munns. How are you, boys?
Good
G'day,
thinking.
Kurt.
Munns, are you going to put the song on, buddy?
What song?
No premature exaltations, Kurt. You know, the whole competition starts again Friday night.
Well, Munns, it's funny you bring that up because I've got the pips and have ever since they started playing Glory Glory before we even run on the field, Munns. Can you tell them to get rid of that?
Oh, mate, I'll ring Russell this afternoon. We normally chat Mondays, just have a look what's happened on the weekend.
Well, he'd be listening now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, please, I'm superstitious, Russell, mate. Just get rid of that stuff, please.
All right. We might start ringing the bell again.
Now, queries?
Look, how good was Kenzo on Wednesdays, boys? Bring it back. Keep bringing some more back, AJC, please. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, they're good meetings. Good meetings, especially the midweeks at this time of year are all worth really following because obviously there's no big the benchmark races get less because of the
Ronnie,
group racing.
Like it's for their benefit. Like I've got no idea about this, but I go odds on that meeting there at Kensington on Wednesday. Have a look at the quality it attracted. It would have the wages it would have made there compared to a Canterbury or Warwick Farm would have easily accumulated that. So It's in their benefit to have some more out here, eh, Ronnie?
Yeah, look, it's all. They'll be getting more now that they're going to. These imports are coming into the quarantine.
So Canberra gets shut down.
The next meeting on the Kenzo is Wednesday, the 2nd of October, which I think is your luncheon, TK, isn't it?
Wednesday, the 2nd of October. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Big gala day.
And then they back up on the 9th of October, so the following week. So there's two meetings there in a week.
Yeah.
Now, Ronnie.
Yes, Kurt.
Listen, Ronnie, this sort of has given me I've got the pips with this a little bit. No, seriously, I don't like ringing up and whinging, but look, you know I follow Group 1 International Racing, Ronnie?
Yes, I do, Kurt.
Now, Thursday night, I was at a venue where there's 400 million monitors, so, you know, I hardly went out of my way to watch this, and I watched the Betfair Sprint, you know, the Group 1 at Haydock that 10 Sovereigns was scratched from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I watched it, Ronnie. Now, the horse that come last, now, I didn't know this. I found this out last night having a few beers with the boys at the local, but the horse that came last in that race was Fairyland.
Yep.
Now, last night, by the way, the Tin Man comes second in that sprint on Saturday night. He's a great old timer. He just went down and it was a great effort there, but that's just by the by.
Now, how did Dorothy and the Lion go?
Sorry?
How did Dorothy and the Lion go with the Tin Man?
Nah, don't worry. No, right. And... look, last night the boys were telling me at the pub, Ronnie, that Aiden, this is his second stringer, Fairyland. Now, it come last there, Ronnie, on a soft track. All I'm saying is, hopefully we're not settling for, you know, second best just so we can, you know, just so he wants to pull out 10 sovereigns at the last second, that we're settling and just going to allow him to run this horse. Now, it's a different story if it was
a backup
horse.
Well, it's his slot. He can do whatever they like with it.
They paid 600.
They can do, it's their slot.
Yeah, but I'm talking about us accepting rubbish in a race just to say, oh, look at us, we've got international horses. It's a different story if it was a good horse, Terry. No problems with that whatsoever.
Yeah,
but are we just going to say yes because it's an international horse? It run last there, Terry.
I understand that. I've seen the race.
Well, why?
Well, I don't want to be on it, but it's...
I just feel so sorry for our local horses. That's a slot there that could be a position for one of our trainers to have. I was so upset with that, Ronnie.
Yeah, well,
one of our trainers might get it yet.
No, but if he pulls out at the last second, it's automatic that because he said this is my backup horse, that they're going to allow him to race.
No, it's not automatic.
He can do a deal. He can do a deal with any horse.
He can do a deal with any
galloping in the country or anywhere in the world.
For all we know, Fairyland's only out here for a companion.
Oh, good.
You know, it's who knows?
Jeez, you've got very hot under the collar about something that probably won't happen.
Well, look, I hope it doesn't, because, Terry,
players
we don't...
the first tee.
Let's not start doing what they did at the beginning when they started taking anything and everything for the Melbourne Cup back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, can't we learn off people's mistakes? You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't
go
want
and
rubbish here,
go and find it. Go and find a new venue and just have a cleansing ale and
settle
and
down.
Cool yourself down a bit there, Kurt.
We want you to be happy on a Monday morning. You've got fired up for no reason there, right? That's the problem. Good on you, Kurt. Always good to hear from you. Glenn...
Oh, yes, TK. A
little bit windy, mate. You'll just have to dart them into the breeze, but have you got one to follow?
Nowhere near as bad out here in the Golden Southwest, TK. Yeah, Eugene's pick. I'm looking for horses away from the major races where it's going to be
as long
trainers
as they win,
can hand pick a race, and Eugene's pick for Robert and Luke Price was very, very good in that baller race on Saturday.
Okay,
so
Eugene's
in
pick
an easier race.
Is the horse to follow? What about you, Ronnie?
I'm going towards the big races, and the shark has arrived. The shark has arrived. Tiaka
okay,
shark.
You're going to stick with
yeah,
Tiaka?
I think so. I wanted to look at him on Saturday just to see
you
if
you want
he...
one of those hats.
Yeah, I want one of those hats. Wouldn't
they
I look good?
They were pretty cool, hats.
Make me a bit taller anyway.
Yeah, they were cool. Gator, have you got one to follow?
Yeah, look, outside of the obvious, I thought Sikandarabad was terrific in the fan here. So, look, I don't think you can take out one of the big group ones by any stretch, but there's certainly a race in that also.
Sorry, Gator, which one again?
Sikandarabad, his name is.
Okay, beautiful. That's a wonderful. Thanks, Gator.
Pleasure.
And we're getting some text messages, and I know Punters Postmortem. I know it's terrific to have Gator on board. Dean Lester still have some health issues, Ronnie, so we're just wishing that Dino, he's fighting the good fight. There's no doubt about that, and we're hopeful he'll be back on board as quickly as possible. We just wish him all the best in his struggles.
For sure. Hopefully we're getting back sooner rather than later because he's got
springtime looming large.
We need him. We need him.
So then we can have Gator and Dino, which just
the best of both worlds,
which just helps us along as well. Good on you, Ronnie. Nice to have your company again. Thanks to David Gately and also thanks to Glenn Munsey. That's the Monday edition.